First of all, this coming Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday are the Ember Days of September. These aren't these days that have a funny name. And this, another thing to, with a special name. So the Ember Days are actually days of penance and mortification. They come four times in the year. They divide up the seasons, more or less. And we should use these days as a sort of renewal of ourselves and our lives. And we should do something special on those days, above and beyond the minimum that the church requires. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. My good people, last Sunday we celebrated the glorious feast of the birth of Our Lady. Today, we are celebrating her sorrows. The church has put the name Seven Sorrows. They've picked out seven great sorrows in Our Lady's life to commemorate especially. But we know that her life was more or less full of sorrows, of sweet sorrow, you might say. Again, when we look at the life of Our Lady, do we just look at it as another life? When we look at today, it's another feast. And do we have the tendency, when we look at these feast days, especially of Our Lady, and look at the life of Our Lady, do we have the tendency to think, yes, she was a great lady, and she did great things, but she wasn't exactly human. She's a little bit more than human. So it was a little easier for her. My good people, we have to put aside anything we might have picked up from any mystical theology we may have read. Yes, it's good for furthering devotion, but we cannot base our faith and our beliefs on the mystical apparitions that may or may not have come to certain holy people. And above all, we cannot interpret them in any way. We must look at Our Lady as being totally human. Sure, she was born, she was conceived, full of grace, without sin. Which means she didn't have original sin on her soul. And she was, in a certain sense, better equipped to resist temptations. But that doesn't mean she didn't have the temptations. That doesn't mean she didn't have the worry and the doubt and the questions. That doesn't mean she didn't have to trust. That she didn't have to practice faith. She may have known in a dim way a general outline of the future in store for her and her son, but she had no way of knowing step by step, blow by blow, what would happen. That would have made her more of a robot. If she hadn't had to have practice the same virtues that we have to practice, it would not have made her the example that she is for us. She had to practice the ultimate in trust and faith in our Lord. Just imagine this little 15-year-old girl, to have this angel, and yes, they were used to angels in those days, and visions, and being talked to from burning bushes and such. That's fine. And they were expecting somebody to be picked to be the Messiah and the bearer of the Messiah. They knew that. And I'm sure she knew that. But just imagine, in spite of all that, this angel appears to her, to this humble little girl, and says, "You have been chosen." Believe it or not, my good people, she did not have to say no. I mean, yes, she could have said no. She still had her free will. Sinless or not, she still had her free will. She could have said no. But she didn't. And think of the immense amount of faith it took, the immense amount of trust to say, "I will. Be it done unto me as thou willest." And then go through her life from that moment, moment by moment, with each new advent. And poor Saint Joseph, when he came into the picture, don't you know that she has some question about that also? And yet she trusted still that God would straighten everything out, especially when it became known that she was with child and poor Saint Joseph didn't know what to do. And in him too, we have a splendid example of faith, of trust in God. These two, when they were asked to do something, to get up in the middle of the night and travel in a strange country, to a strange country, when they prayed and asked God for help in this or that affair, when they trusted that God would take care of everything, they didn't stand over his back, so to speak, making sure that he answered their prayers and took care of the situation as they thought he should. No. They let God answer their prayers and take care of the situation in whatever way he knew best. And they took it from there. That, my good people, is faith and trust. It doesn't mean they didn't have concern. Of course they did, or they wouldn't have gone back to Jerusalem and searched for 3 days for our Lord. But they went back and searched. They didn't sit down and worry and worry and worry. "Oh dear, where is he? What have I done wrong? Something might have happened to him." No. They placed the whole matter in God's hands, and they went looking, knowing that God would work everything out according to his will. And then, the culmination, so to speak, when Our Lady is standing at the foot of the cross, even then, the amount of faith that it took for her to remain standing there, to know that it wasn't all a waste, that it hadn't all come to an end. But we, my good people, we start a project or an endeavor or an adventure or whatever, an enterprise, a job. And we put a whole lifetime of effort into it. And then in the end, it all falls apart. Has all that effort been wasted? Just because the physical thing has collapsed? My good people, if we do everything as Our Lady did, and Saint Joseph, solely out of love for God, no matter what it is, no matter what we build, or do, or say, or write, or think, or whatever, if it's done for the love of God, even if the physical product comes to naught eventually, our love is still there, and that is all God is looking at. He's not looking at the physical. He's only looking at the spiritual. So my good people, let us, with the same amount of faith, stand beside Our Lady at the foot of the cross, knowing that while the world crumbles around us, God is still there, and our love for Him is still there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.